As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carbro and the Big Chill. Fasten your seatbelts. This is the Speakeasy, Claudio Speakeasy, coming at you from WCOM 103.5 FM. I'm here in the studio with my co-host, John Paul McClellan. Say hi to the nice folks, John Paul.
Hi, all you nice folks.
And we also have the pleasure of having Ali Hansen with us, who works with Carbro Recreation and Parks. And she's going to be explaining some of the events that are coming up. Say hello, Hal.
Hello, good morning.
There we go. That's her. We're trying to tweak some of the instruments here. Can you turn my volume up there just a little?
Maybe.
I think on 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, that helps.
Maybe we should explain a little bit. We had a malfunction in the studio, and we had some dead air for a while.
Seems like the Simeon went off or something.
Yeah, the automated system stopped playing for some reason. And so when we came in, I put on the recording you were just listening to, the Marc Brassard album,
which was actually
Save
a good
Our
selection.
Soul, which was really, really nice stuff. Mm-hmm. Love that stuff. So
rather fortuitous.
And we'll probably use that for transition music before Touchstones, between us and Touchstones too, unless Simeon gets back on the air by then.
Yeah. So.
So
be
in case
with us.
Yes, anybody wants to know, that's what the story is.
In case you were wondering. Anyway, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, and we're basically going to discuss all things relevant to the local area. That includes the Carbro Music Festival that's coming up on Sunday, the September 28th. I think there are going to be a lot of DJs from here, including John Paul, manning stages out there. I think, when are you coming on, John Paul?
I'm hosting the Carbro Arts Center West End program Sunday afternoon.
At what time?
2:45 to 5:15.
Any idea where that's going to be? What location? Where?
At the Carbro Arts Center.
Oh, at the center itself.
Yeah,
okay,
in the West End Theater.
Gotcha. I know there's going to be a setup here at WCOM.
In the parking lot.
People promoting the things here. And I think there's probably going to be a band or two playing here.
There's a bunch
as well.
Of bands playing. A bunch of music going on all day, I think.
I may even slip in through the cracks myself. I haven't quite been cleared on what my life is going on with this weekend, so we'll see. Hopefully I can show up as well.
Hopefully.
Anyway, I think I'll do a quick announce on this. This will be the 11th Annual Carbro Music Festival, September 28, 2008, beginning at 1 p.m., over 160 acts at 21 locations, so all up and down the street from here into Chapel Hill. All kinds of music all over town, all for free. Or is it? I guess it's strictly the Carbro area. Never mind. Take back that part about all the way into Chapel Hill, just in that direction. And it's sponsored by the town of Carbro, of course.
That's right. It's Carbro.
That's right. Orange County Arts Commission is also a sponsor. Stroud Roses Foundation, Shared Visions Foundation, the venues all contributing to Carbro businesses and the Carbro Music Festival Committee. And you can look this up on computer at carbromusicfestival.com. Ba-boom. And now I'd like to welcome Hanny. Let me get this right. I keep thinking of a friend of mine in South Africa named Hanny, and I know I've called you that
before.
We have Ali Hansen on, and Ali's going to inform us about things that are coming up with their involvement at the Century Center. And I think one of the big events coming up will be the West End Poets Weekend. And
oops, sorry, got to run. They're after me.
Well, get out.
The sirens are blazing now.
use the back door.
They finally caught up with me.
I don't know if you folks could hear that, but that was just a fire engine. Anyway, so, Ali,
okay,
I'll go straight.
I guess I take it away.
You're
from
on.
Here.
Take
well,
it away.
Wonderful.
Tell us who you are and what you do at the Century Center or with the Carbro Recreation and Parks. Am I getting that right? Because I know
Carbro Recreation and Parks.
I feel like
Department.
I'm saying it backwards.
No, that's exactly good. Right. Yeah. So I am one of the activity supervisors over there. I work a lot with the children's events and special events, and I also am an office support staff, which led me over this way to helping director Kim Andrews work on the West End Poetry Festival that's coming up this October 11th.
Hello to Kim.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
And, yeah, basically, you know, Dennis Joynes, a director over there, and Kim got together, said we're working on a poetry newsletter and we'd like you to help out. And that's how I kind of got to know some of the local poets around here. And by local, we mean both in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Raleigh, Greensboro. And then because I love it, I'm not a writer myself, but I love to read poetry and hear about how others do the process of poetry. I got to help with the scheduling and all the fun with West End Poet Festival.
Wonderful.
It was formerly known as Weekend, but now it's Festival.
We're shooting for
that.
Festival. I think it's still under Weekend on the on the internet right
yes,
now.
Yes, you can go to westendpoetweekend.com, and we're working on updating our website with this year's current performers' bios and photos. So
wonderful.
Hopefully by October that should be up and going, but yeah.
But eventually it will be known as the Festival.
Yes.
The Carrboro. Well, I guess you're still making that decision. John Paul said something about calling it the Groove.
We were batting that around this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to call it the Groove. And that's going to hit.
Well, I was just saying that's one possible alternative term.
And if viewers want to call in and put their support for the Groove, then we can thank you if it
right. Yes, you can.
Yes.
You can call in and vote.
And I have the pleasure of hanging my art on the way in. I guess that's the downstairs level.
The Century Center Park.
Yes. Well, John Paul and I are actually not booked to be on stage this year, but we really had a good time with it last year when we did our show series.
Yeah, we did. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, don't cry. We're trying to mix it up from last
Absolutely,
year,
no.
So it's okay. Yeah.
Well, the truth is, I didn't want to do it this year. I need a new keyboard, and my old keyboard is just too much trouble, so...
That's right. You said it was very big.
I hate that thing.
Yeah, you never did like that bulky thing,
well,
especially now that
I
you can get the size of a ruler.
I liked it when it first came out. Yeah. So, next.
So anyway, back to Allie.
Okay. So,
what do we have coming up with this particular event? This is October 11th. We're talking
October
about
October 11th, and 11 seems to be the lucky number because we're going to start at 11 a.m. and we are going to go all the way to 11 p.m. And the theme this year again is celebrating diversity in poetry, and I think that you can witness that by looking at some of our performers. We start. We start off the day with a children's block and the group Poetry Alive. They're just about celebrating 25 years, I think, as an organization, and they perform for a lot of schools across North Carolina, and they're really known as just very vibrant, exciting poets. They involve a lot of audience participation, and you know, I've heard feedback from parents that say, you know, my kids really weren't interested in poetry and they saw Poetry Alive and now they're writing and they're performing. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be a really fun group.
Are they the ones that also do it in where is it, Asheville?
Yes, I think. Okay. They're out of Asheville.
I went there years ago. I wasn't sure if this was a separate group by that name or if this was actually the event.
Yeah, no, this is them. This is them. And I think poetrylive.com will get you more information on that.
Well, I went to it in Asheville some years ago, and it was very well put together, well organized.
Yeah, so that's another thing about this year is, you know, last year I think we had more Chapel Hill and Carrboro poets and performers, and this year we're covering the state a little more thoroughly.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Folks out of Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, Asheville. So again, the diversity theme.
Good, good, good. No, there's nothing wrong with that. You were also saying something about having some Spanish goings on.
Yeah. In the evening, our event is going to take place at two venues from 11 till about 4. You can come and listen to the poets and watch the performers at the Century Center Hall. Mm-hmm. And in the evening, starting at 5:30, we're going to switch over to DSI Comedy Theater, which, if you're familiar with Carrboro, is over here in the Carmel Mall. And we are going to start that out with a laureate block. We're having Neil McTighe, the Carrboro laureate, as well as Mike Troy from Hillsboro, our Hillsboro laureate. Both
Hello,
very
Mike.
Fun. Yeah. And then we're going to have a published poets block, which will feature people we've worked with a lot in the past, like Joanna Catherine Scott and Maureen Sherbendy. Then we're going to go to the poet musicians, and that's where we're going to come to Liz. She also goes by Elizabeth Herrera, and but her stage name is Liz, and you can look her up on MySpace. We were very excited when we found her. We sent her an email and said, you know, we have a very strong Latino community in Carrboro. We'd love to reach out to them. Do you happen to do any of your poetry, any of your songs in Spanish? And she wrote back and she was very excited. She said, I usually try to sneak in a few Spanish poems and songs. And she's like, but because you ask, I'm going to do the whole entire set.
Wonderful.
And that. So she'll have a good 30-minute block.
Well, we have a strong support system for that on WCOM as well. Quite a few Spanish-speaking programs happen here. So it will be very well received.
Good, good. And after Liz, and we also have some other local musicians, we're going to have our featured poets. And they are Slam Charlotte, out of Charlotte. And they are both the 2007 and 2008 National Poetry Slam champions. And
Well.
So if you're not familiar with slam poetry, Claudia, you want to help me out with that a bit?
It's you recite it. You go into a bit of a recital. If they don't like it, they slam you. Isn't that it, John Paul?
I'm sure.
Actually,
lots of body movement. No.
We've had a similar thing here on the station when we had the rapper Demost on with us. Actually, it's basically just people getting passionate about their poetry and sort of reciting poetry in a rather competitive spirit, I would say.
Yes, yeah. It's sort of WWF meets poetry recitation.
There we go.
Well, Slam Charlotte's, and they're not going to do a competition, but they will perform for us, and they do a combination of spoken word, which is poetry with a music kind of background. It's all very performance oriented. I think the idea behind slam is kind of bringing poetry back to the people. And it's not uncommon to see slammers perform on, you know, city sidewalks and stuff like that. Yeah. But they started out at the performing for the African American Culture Center, and I think around 2003. And some of their individual poets, you know, they've got their Slam Master Blues. He's 13th ranked individually in the world.
Wonderful.
For slam.
There are actually street gangs that use this in a competitive spirit kind of way to basically come and gather around each other, and instead of causing any conflict, they basically see who can spout out the best poetry.
Yeah,
who's got the best rap.
Yeah, and you know, some people who have seen it for the first time, they're like, "Well, that was very dramatic." You know, that it kind of looks more like acting to them, and so it's like
it's a combination, definitely
performance driven. And another thing cool about Slam Charlotte is they were the national champs of slam, and it was for the first time that was awarded to a team from the South in over 14 years.
Wow.
So
I had no idea.
We are very excited to have them. And we'll be finishing our night out with Church to Poet. And that is Joseph, a.k.a. Church, Churchwell. He's the founder of Black Poetry Theater. And,
Where was that established?
Oh, you're asking
Black Poetry Theater. It sounds local.
It sounds local. I'm thinking Durham. I know Dasan Ahanu. I hope I don't
forgive us if we're wrong about this, but I'm assuming Durham.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Durham poets, and Liz, who's going to be performing in Spanish, is also part of that. But he's co-wrote and produced some of the Black theater performances, and he's going to mix us off in the night with a combination of poetry, again with a music background, kind of. You know, I'm not really a big music person. I can't describe a lot about it, but I would say definitely some soul influence, some rap, some hip hop. So yeah, you're not going to fall asleep during the last, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're not expecting anyone to fall asleep during the poetry festival at all. There's a lot of variety to who we have with us. So
I definitely noticed that, and I'm assuming you had a big hand in helping pull all that together. Or how did this big diversity come about?
Well, that was really fun. You know, we put out the West End Poetry Newsletter. That's a bi-monthly publication. Mm-hmm. And we put out a call for poets. And some people we approached and some people approached us. And
how did you do this? Primarily by computer?
Primarily by email. Yeah, and some old-fashioned telephone calls.
Yes, yes.
And mostly we have a new slate of poet performers from last year, but one of our returning groups is the Tar Heel, we have a, what's called a Tar Heel Poets Block, and the director of UNC Chapel Hill's creative writing team, James Shea, is going to come and read some poetry, and he's also going to bring with him about 8 or 9 student poets to come and perform too. So that was really popular, and we liked the whole Tar Heel background, so we brought them back.
It should fit well locally.
Yeah, we're going to have the NC Haiku Society. We also, our poet laureate, Neil McTighe, he sponsored with Carrboro Day in the Arts Center the first annual Carrboro Youth Poets Award. And so we have some of our award winners coming, and so we have a youth poets block that they're going to present. And
since you're a poet laureate out there, if you happen to be listening, I wouldn't mind having you on the speakeasy sometime. So get in touch with Ali and maybe arrange that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, be fun.
We'll pick the brain of the poet laureate.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, back to you. Sorry.
You know, I'm at a brain pause.
Uh-oh. So the other fellow, what was the Hillsborough poet is another one.
Oh, Mike Troy.
Mike Troy.
He's really fun.
So, Mike, if you're tuning in, please, you know, consider coming on the speakeasy. You'd love to talk some literature. It is called The Literary and All Else.
Mm-hmm.
The All Else is more the pub atmosphere of the thing. But
there's a lot of All Else.
There's a lot, yes.
Yes.
You never know which way we're going. Well, we'll take a second here and switch rails just to find out what John Paul is going to be taking on today with the Unmedia. That's the political edge of the show. He has his 10-minute spot exposing things that the media does not expose, since it's primarily owned by corporations that are acting in their own interest instead of letting the people know what it, you know, the truth that surrounds us daily.
Isn't that the truth? That's the case. Well,
you'd like to know what the truth is, actually.
So the Unmedia is, as was just said, is about stuff that you are not allowed to learn from the major media outlets because, well, they don't want you to know it.
If you know their financial interests.
Right. If you know the truth, you might actually be able to do something about it.
Yes.
And we can't have that.
That's the caution.
No, we can't have that.
Actually, we've got that very spirit going right into the big money grab that's going on right now.
Well, and it's obviously the
poor man bailing out rich man.
The topic of the moment, and I've been reading a little bit online about it, and I've had my own thoughts on it. I found some stuff online that pretty much agrees with my thoughts about it. So, you know, I feel like I'm being somewhat vindicated with my point of view, which is simply that it's all a big scam. It's actually been engineered to happen, just like the Great Depression was engineered by the big money people to happen. And the reason they do that is because it allows them to grab more ownership of everything that ends up crashing.
Isn't it funny, when the chips are down, they want to go to a socialized economy, but yet socialized medicine seems to be the big taboo because they can't make the profits they really want to make.
Well, and the thing that this fits in with very well is the work by Naomi Klein called The Shock Doctrine, which is a recent work which explains how throughout really U.S. history and European history, the powers that be, the big money powers, use whatever happens that's problematical to their advantage, and they strike while people are in a traumatic period in order to impose their will upon the people.
Called fear-mongering.
It's fear-mongering. It's shock doctrine. Shock and awe is an example of what we're talking about when all that talk when we were invading Iraq was about how we're going to use shock and awe, the idea being if you really devastate people emotionally, you can get them to accept almost anything. Just by presenting it in a certain light, mainly that there's some kind of enemy that you have to fight against, and therefore you justify the kinds of draconian rulings that we have seen since 9/11, for instance.
And we're supposedly over there defending a democracy that we're destroying at home. So tell me, what are we fighting
right.
for?
Right, and of course, we're not doing any such thing, and we never have, as a country, done any such thing. Most of the history of foreign relations in the United States is one of overthrowing democracies. We've overthrown dozens of democracies around the world
worldwide
for the last 150 years. The beginning of it was our Western expansion into the territory that once belonged to Mexico. Mexico did not attack the United States, which was used as the pretext for that. There was a claim that we were attacked by Mexico. We were not. That's how we got Texas, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, California, part of Oregon, most of the western part of the United States. We took from Mexico under false pretenses.
And the beat goes on.
They had attacked us. They did not attack us. We know that now. It's a fact of history. We just used that as a pretext for attacking them in order to take their land. So, back to the crisis du jour.
Yeah, climb back up that hill, will you?
What we're seeing is an example of what I just talked about, the shock doctrine. They're trying to now rush through this so-called rescue package, which is really nothing more than giving dictatorial powers to the administration.
Absolutely.
They want to allow the Secretary of the Treasury to make all these decisions without review, without congressional oversight.
It takes Congress completely out of the picture.
Without any checks whatsoever. And it's just totally anathema to the American way. It's not a democratic approach.
And he wants to do it swiftly so he won't feel the pain except for the next 20 years.
Well, this problem has been building for years. And several years ago, I started talking about it. And what I said was very simple. What we should be doing is restructuring the loans for people who can't afford the rising interest rates, because they signed on to adjustable interest rates, and those interest rates then went so high that they could no longer afford.
But they never had a ceiling.
There is a ceiling, but it's so high that it doesn't make any difference. That when your interest rates go up 2 or 3%, you can't afford the interest rates anymore.
This is supposedly why we have a government to govern these things.
Well, and there should have been legislation and regulations that would prevent that from happening. But guess what happened? Ronald Reagan was elected, and they threw all that out the window. The Glass-Steagall Act has been chipped away. And by the way, the Democrats helped do this as well. Because the final knife was stuck in Glass-Steagall during the Clinton administration in 98, when he and Robert Rubin decided that it was time to just do away with all the rest of Glass-Steagall and allow banks to be both commercial banks and investment banks. Mm-hmm. And that meant that they could leverage their money to such an extent that if anything went wrong, you lose 3 or 4% and suddenly you're bankrupt. That's what the problem is. So what we should have done starting 2 or 3 years ago was to start passing legislation that allowed these loans to be restructured so that the people who were paying their loans on time could continue to pay their loans on time and stop the massive rate hikes on their interest rates. If we had done that, we wouldn't have this crisis now. We can still do it. The plan that they're putting forward now is bogus. It's completely and utterly corrupt.
I was going to say, go back to the bailout, because the bailout is basically going to give these people the money that they're missing now so that they can go on exactly the way they are.
And the people who are losing their homes will still lose their homes.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to stop.
If you save the people who are losing their homes, you save those homes and you save the companies that are doing the financing. You get twice as much bang for the buck if you go the restructuring of the loans route. And they're not going to do that because the Democrats and the Republicans are in on this together. It's going to go down to where you get a little bit broader help, but it's not going to really help the people that need it the most. It's going to help the people that need it the least.
Exactly.
And those who don't need it at all. And those are the people at the very top of the income ladder. The top 1% of the nation is going to make out like crazy on this deal.
With your tax money.
The CEOs and high officials in these companies are going to make out like crazy.
They've
already made hundreds of millions, some of them billions, over this period of time that all this has been going on. If they got nothing, if they were thrown out of their jobs and got nothing, they would still have billions of dollars in their bank accounts. We should not be doing one single thing to help those people. We should be throwing them out of their positions, and they should be put in jail for what they've done, because they knew exactly what was going to happen. They planned it, and now it's coming to fruition.
But the big TikTok comes on Friday.
They want
a decision.
Oh, they want to have it done by then. It doesn't have to be the big TikTok. In fact, there's hope, there's some hope that some people in Congress are resisting this to the point where maybe they can stop it and turn it into something that will really make a big difference. Because when it's all said and done, what they're talking about doing is not going to solve the problem. It's going to make it worse, and the crash will be even bigger when it comes.
I have little faith that the Democrats won't cave in like they have every time.
They've caved in every time. I don't have much faith that they won't this time. However, there are some conservatives who come around to the same point of view as the Democrats, mm-hmm. which is that you can't have the government doing this. It's going to ruin the economy, make it even worse than it is now, and it's going to put the taxpayers on the line.
Ultimately, it's a power grab.
We're going to be holding the bag. So what they've done is they privatized all the huge gargantuan profits, and now they're socializing the risk. Mm-hmm. So we're going to end up paying for all those hundreds of billions of dollars that the big fat cats have already taken out of the system. It's already done. That part of it's done. Those people have that money. It's our money. They've already got it. Now they're going to tell us that we have to pay for those losses. So we're going to pay them again.
And that includes them walking out with millions.
Billions.
In their own pockets.
Billions.
Yeah.
Some of them make billions.
And we don't benefit by it at all.
We get nothing out of it. We get a weak economy. We get devastation of every aspect of our economy. Our industrial base is almost completely gone now. The whole system has been a long march from the Reagan era to where we are now, and it's working exactly as they planned. This is not an accident.
No, it's not.
This is exactly what they wanted, and they're getting it. And the Democrats have gone right along with it the whole time, and a lot of the Democrats are getting the same benefits as the fat cats. A good example is Robert Rubin, who was Clinton's Treasury Secretary. He's now an Obama. He's Obama's number one economic advisor.
Oh, boy.
He makes $40 million a year.
That's
from
obscene.
These corporations as a member of a corporation. He is just as guilty as all the rest of them. And Obama ought to get rid of him and get this guy, what's his name, Michael... I can't remember his last name right now. He's a professor of economics at the University of Missouri, and he is he's absolutely right on target. He's been talking about this for a long time. He's made all the correct decisions. He's explained how it was going to happen, and it's happening exactly as he said it would. So that's the guy that Obama ought to be.
It's a step-by-step countdown. Yep.
It is. So what we got is we got a shock doctrine happening. We've got a manufactured consensus about what the solution is. It's not a real consensus because the news media, being owned by these very same corporations, is just going along with the program. They're not going to tell the American people the truth about what happened, just like they didn't tell us the truth about 9/11, just like they didn't tell us the truth about Iraq, didn't tell us the truth about Afghanistan. They're doing the same thing they always do.
And they've drowned out Europe every time Europe tries to tell us or warn us.
Another aspect of this is that it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. What they're trying to do is unconstitutional. Well, it is not permitted by the Constitution.
Let's go back to the Constitution and what George Bush himself said. Give us that famous quote.
The Constitution is just a g-damn piece of paper.
That's directly from the mouth
of
Bush.
That's what he said.
Bush.
He called the Constitution a g-d piece of paper. That's all it is to him.
The same man that swore to uphold it in front of America.
And that's a quote, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Now, some lawmakers are angry, but I don't think there's enough of them that are angry that are going to stop this from happening. There is opposition across the political spectrum, but it's just not enough. Let's see. I'm looking at my points here. What would a progressive bailout look like? If it was really something that was progressive, that was the idea of which was to really help the population who's affected by this.
That is the thought.
If there would be 4 points, the financial institutions would be forced to take on the losses.
They should.
If this was really about helping the American economic system, those big fat cats would be the ones who would suffer the most.
They should feel the pain.
And even
of
if they suffered, we're talking about people who make hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Right, yes.
So
no, I'm just saying they should suffer their excesses.
They should, exactly. And the way to do that is to not bail them out.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then the bailout also has to be designed to minimize the gaming aspect of all this. What we're seeing is gaming, and that's what's been going on since the Reagan era.
Welcome to Vegas.
It's all a big game and a gamble, except the people at the top aren't really gambling because they've got it rigged to come out in their favor. Okay? And then finally, in the case of delinquent mortgages, you've got to come to the rescue of these 2 or 3 or so million people who have been hoodwinked by these mortgage brokers. When they went into these deals, they were told that they could handle this. But truth is, they can't handle it because their interest rates have gone up so much that they can no longer afford the payments. Now, if these lending institutions were making money when they were paying 5 and 6% interest, there's no reason why they can't still make money at 5 or 6% interest. Okay? The interest doesn't have to go to 9, 10, 12, 15%. These people can still make money, just restructure the loans so that the homeowners can afford to pay them off in a timely manner, whatever the length of the period of the loan is. It has to be restructured so that doesn't happen. By the way, that saves the lending institutions also because they don't lose the money.
The reason it goes that high is purely greed-based.
It is greed. It's set up to devastate the people who made these bad deals in the first place. It's all a very horrible, rotten plan that everybody at the top understood from the very beginning and has understood all along was going to happen. It's unfolding exactly as they wish.
It is the dark side of capitalism.
It's not even capitalism. It's feudalism.
Well, we certainly spills into that, yeah.
We are living in a feudal society. We never have left the feudal system. It's still here. We call it something else, but it's feudalism. You have landowners. You have a top tiny percentage of people who call all the shots. It's like serfs and barons. And we are the serfs, and they are the barons.
Slavery has simply changed its image.
And that is the Unmedia.
Thank you. Well, that's enough of that. Now, where's my coffee? So, I noticed Ali was sitting here rather spellbound by all this stuff coming at you. Oh, God, what did I get myself into?
I don't do coffee, by the way. So, yeah.
Well,
I wasn't asking where your cup was.
I can't speak politics, so I better keep my mouth
shut.
No,
I prefer not to, actually. No. I prefer to keep the program a lot more literary, but there are so many things going on in the world today that I just jump on and I feel an obligation to broadcast things that I just not heard.
Well, just one more retunder. These people should be in jail. George Bush is a murderer. He should be in jail. Dick Cheney is a murderer. He needs to be in jail. People should read the book by Vincent Bugliosi, the guy who prosecuted the Manson case. Mm-hmm. He has written a book explaining in detail why there is a legal case to be made that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney are guilty of murder. They are. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that they are. And there's person in Vermont running for the state attorney general's office, an independent running in Vermont, who says that if she is elected, she will file charges against George Bush and Dick Cheney for murder.
You go, girl. Good.
So,
I'm glad to hear
I'm
that.
I'm sending her money.
I tend to concur. There is also
send her
a book,
some money.
There's also a book to read that will explain a lot about what happened around 9/11 and things we weren't told. Pick up the book Day of Deceit. It'll show you how they did this to us during Pearl Harbor. Very much the same strategy.
It's the same exact thing. It's a false flag terrorist attack. 9/11 was done by people within our own government. There is no way that 19 hijackers directed by somebody in a cave in Afghanistan could defeat the $400 trillion U.S. defense system. It's absolutely ridiculous. Buildings that are damaged asymmetrically do not collapse symmetrically. No steel skyscraper in the history of steel skyscrapers has ever come down due to fire. It doesn't happen. It's a lie. Those buildings were brought down with explosives. There's absolutely no doubt about it. One of the foremost demolition experts in the world, Danny Jawenko, has said so in very plain language. He went on international television and explained that Building 7 was brought down by controlled demolition. There's no doubt about it. If you believe the government story, you're a moron. Sorry.
All right, enough.
Sorry about
that. Don't call everybody
still
a moron.
Bit of passion.
Okay, and that's that. That's the Unmedia for today. Now, folks, everybody, relax, wind down, and let's hope we can clean up this mess and kick some people in the butt that deserve to be kicked out of office.
Yes, indeed.
And, Hani, take us off. Hani, here I am doing it again. God, hello, Hani in South Africa.
You're going to have to fly me out to meet Hani.
Yeah,
I
will at some point. It'll be Hani and Ali, the Hani and Ali show.
Well, I've never left the United States.
Ali Hansen.
It would be very fun for me.
What's your own background? I mean, your personal cultural mix.
Oh, I am from Northern California, which means... melting pot of everything, but
but you have visited the United States.
Yes. Yes.
From Northern California.
Northern California. Yeah. Back to you.
But no, my father is from the island of Guam, and my mother is from Kentucky. Crossroads,
great.
Kentucky. So I have quite a mix. And if you're from Guam or you're Chamorro, you have a little bit of everything.
My father was in Guam, in World War II.
Okay, yeah.
Interesting. And what brought you here?
Actually, my husband was getting his English PhD in English over at UNC.
And what's his name and where's he from?
He's Michael Hansen. He's from Utah, Kearns, Utah, near Salt Lake City.
Ah, okay.
And so we came out here for college, and the PhD, you know, we had our second child. The PhD program, it wasn't going to...
That's okay, unless you're beating a drum.
Stop pounding on the table.
So you caught me nervous. Overwhelmed by the politics. No.
Yes. By all the people outside the window looking in, I know.
Yes.
Going,
yes.
You just called me a moron. No, yeah.
You moron. No.
Yeah, so we came here about 10 years ago, and we just fell in love with Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Oddly enough, Carrboro is... a very fun mix of what we loved about living in Utah and what we loved about living in California.
Oh, interesting.
So we feel very home here.
It was a lot less populated when you got here. How do you feel about it now?
I could see the changes. I just think when I see, the new developments and different things happening, I just think, well, what would it have been like to be here 20 years ago or 30 years ago when it was mostly forest? And that makes me a little sad. But, I'm one of the people that has... I've come.
Well,
I've come and stayed. So
it was more like 40 years ago when it was mostly forest.
Yeah.
I was here then, and 30 years ago and 20 years ago. And yeah, it
ever-changing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ever-changing. Back in the real old days, I mean, you drive just a little bit out of the main part of downtown, it was all woods. And
that thought.
It was really nice. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm living in the woods right now, but eventually they'll probably take those away as well.
I'm sure.
Except what I've got fenced in. There'll be this enclosure with a wooded area inside a fence.
It'll be 2 acres in the city.
You guys are crazy. You didn't warn me about this. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is wonderful. That's why the rooms are dark in here.
Yes.
We are nuts. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
We're nuts.
But one of the things we love about this area that I said was a good combination of two is just the sense of community that's out here and a love of the arts and a love of knowledge, and that can bring us back to how about West End Poetry Festival?
Absolutely, let's go back there.
Yes.
Much more pleasant. So I'm sure there's some turf we didn't cover there. What do we still have to point out?
Wow.
Or to point toward?
Point towards. I think you may have covered it all.
Okay.
I may have been.
Well, I noticed you're having some notes there. What are the notes?
But it's really fun. One is my email for those that are interested in either receiving our West End Poetry newsletter.
Tell them how to contact you by computer.
Yes. Program division, all one word, @ci.carrboro.nc.us.
Well, it's a lot of dots.
There are a lot of dots. Or you can visit the Town of Carrboro's website and look for me. I think I'm no longer labeled intern. I think I'm program division.
Her name is Ali Hansen.
Yes, yes. But it's really fun, and we spotlight a lot of people. The thing I love about poetry, and wonderful, I mean, this was designed by our athletic head, Dennis Joins, and, I really love my job. I work here part-time.
That's always good to hear.
I love working with the people. I love that I can work over in the athletics division section and write, right about poetry or interview poets, work with musicians, work with children, seniors. It's really
now
fun.
Tell me how the athletics, the concept athletics, ties in with all that, because athletics to me, I think sport, I think basketball, I'm thinking something's going on in the gym.
We do a lot of that, and it's a big time for fall registration right now if you're interested in getting your kiddos into some, your children into some of those sports.
So was that the origin of that title, or because I notice every time I get anything that's titled athletics, it's more literary.
Yeah, that's the origin of the title. It's just, we have our directors and our supervisors, and they're over different parts of the whole, which is recreation, which involves mind, body, soul, spirit. We try to reach out and touch all those different parts of you that make you a healthy, happy, enjoyable person.
Well, so. and then the one of the aspects of that is that the facilities are under the athletics department, right? So you have.
I'm not sure he knows what he's talking about right now.
I'm not sure I know enough to say.
is there an athletic department in there?
There is an athletic department.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Where is it?
It's right. Well, you went to Kim's office. It's all just right down the little hall.
But there's no gym.
No, but the recreational facilities are all over the place.
We have a nice relationship with Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, we've never lost.
Gradually,
a gym,
we're peering through the fog.
Yeah, and there's community centers.
And community centers, and then we have the big Century Center Hall where we host some of our gymnastics programs, our yoga, also And we just do everything over there. There's jewelry, there's making, there's language, Spanish, our photography, check it out. Go to the town website. We have a newsletter for monthly events if you need to break things down that way, as well as you can see our fall schedule. And then you could also find the poetry newsletter on there archived.
Give us a little bit of the history, as you may know it, of the Century Center itself. I know it was formerly an old church, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was the denomination? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I believe it was Baptist.
Baptist, okay.
I don't remember for sure. It might have been Methodist. Thing. Maybe it was Methodist. Yeah.
It's rather methodical now.
I was on the committee that did the...
Missed that one, didn't you?
I was on the committee that helped do the upfit for the building there. We specified the flooring that went in up in the sanctuary.
How long has it actually been put to this particular use?
Wow. Well, that was since Mayor Mike was over here.
2-3 years or longer?
No, longer. Five, seven years.
Interesting. Yeah. It's definitely a beautiful facility.
It's a beautiful facility. People have weddings there, bar mitzvahs, the 16-year-old quinceañeras.
It's a great spot. Hmm. It's a really great spot. And the floor is absolutely wonderful. The floor came out fabulous. It's great for dancing.
Wooden floor. Yeah.
And it's wonderful for toddlers. We do toddler playtime every Tuesday morning.
It's real easy on your feet. It's a sprung floor.
I see. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it uses a foam pad underneath, and it's extremely durable. Beautiful. They use it for basketball courts. I mean, it's a really great facility. Yeah.
Well, good. That catches up on that. Any other notes I'm looking at over here? I want to make sure you cover the gamut as far as Century Center itself goes.
I covered the gamut. I could read the names of all our performers, we'll just send, reference you to the spots. I am excited about every month on the first Tuesday monthly over at Open Eye Cafe. We have an open mic night. And one of our featured youth poets, Alexandra Slidell, is going to be reading some of her poetry. And all the credit goes to her mom and dad. But I like to feel like I discovered her because she would come. She comes and has just developed a large fan following. Just a really smart, bright young girl.
Now, where did you find her?
I started working Poet Open Mic night, and she would be there with her father. She's a young teenager. But the wonderful thing about Open Mic night is, you've got people. We've got Slim, who has been asked to write a lot of, sort of bereavement poems, and he has a friend that puts his poetry to just beautiful graphics that they design together. So him and Alexandra, they're some of our faithful. We've got some Glenn, who comes over from Friday Noon Poets, and some of our other regulars. But the thing I love is it's not just, I think when people think of poetry, they think of academics. You know, they remember tearing things apart and being told that rhyming was evil and all those things. And,
I'm in trouble.
And what we love about Poet Open Mic Night and about the Poetry Festival and just that whole part of our program's division is it's, you know, if it comes from you, you know, and it's lovely. It's poetry, you know, it's kind of expressions of the soul. And so we take it in all its forms and all its sizes. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, have gotten PhDs and they'll come. Some people will come and they'll sing because that's how they can communicate it best. And it's a very casual, you know, we're not like some poetry groups where we will analyze each other's work. Sometimes someone will say, I had trouble with this, and they're kind of reading their notes upside down, and we'll say, well, we kind of felt like that should be two poems or maybe a line here or there. But none of us, you know, and I certainly don't have a poetry background other than that I enjoy reading it. So,
and that's where it starts.
Yeah, it's just a really safe place for people to come and enjoy the atmosphere. So we're always looking for more people to come.
Express yourself. I think one of the best things that's ever been done on to truly make a statement on poetry is the film that Robin Williams was in years ago, The Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's ever been better expressed. I mean, if you truly want to capture the heart of what poetry is, I think that film conveys it best. The free form of expressing yourself, expressing who you are, and not surrendering to this whole intellectualized notions of what poetry should be.
Yeah.
It's you. It's what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Your expression.
Yeah, and I think that people that will come to the Poetry Festival will find the poetry very accessible. And you know, there's always layers. Our poet laureate has wonderful layers. He'll sit down and, you know, he has written a lot of poetry about Carborough, and I loved hearing him speak where he had the projector up and he could say, now this reference is so-and-so, and I'd go, oh, yes, she was a singer, she was from Carborough. And
mm-hmm.
And so there's that kind of poetry, which is really fun, too, with all its layers and whatnot. But then there's just also the very, you hear it and you're moved, and that's what makes people happy. So we have all of it.
There's always a bit of a local legend to acknowledge when one speaks of this, because when you consider lyrics, they are essentially poetry put to music. And Mike Cross is a big Carborough Chapel Hill legend.
I didn't even know that.
One of his first hits in this area was a song called Carborough Crossing.
Oh, I'll mm-hmm. have to look it up. I'll have to look
so Mike,
that up.
Hello, Mike, if you happen to be listening to
I'm
archive
this
or
down.
Live.
Mike and Cross also
he'd be a wonderful person to bring in at some point. I know he tours quite a bit, but years ago, he was offered a contract to go rock and roll and go national, but he chose to stay small and stay in the area. And I don't think he's small at all in the area. He tends to pack the houses.
Oh, yeah, he fills them up every time.
No doubt, yeah. And yeah. I used to, actually, years ago, I had the pleasure of opening for him, which is how I met him, and just fell in love with his work. So, okay. Hello, Mike.
Hello. And just one other plug I'm going to put in. You know, I mentioned my ego. Email my ego no
your ego
my,
your
my,
ego
my
mail
my first this is my first radio show I now have an
yes.
ego no program
she just
and you're welcome
it.
To it
you
thank can, you
she
thank
was
you.
Sitting certainly, on it she just discovered
entitled.
It
you're entitled to your ego
I'm hipper all of a sudden okay yeah the program division email that I sent out you can mail you know we're always accepting poetry so I encourage people to look us up and send away.
And you may well be featured in the newsletter, so do send.
Exactly.
I've actually been
Claudio
that fortunate.
Claudio was, yeah. My first one. That was the first one I took over.
Oh, was it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, nice gentleman. Andy Fisher did them before me.
Yes, I remember. Whatever happened to them? Where'd Andy go?
Andy's working over in the Century Center Hall, kind of doing facilities. And if you want to book the Century
yeah,
Hall,
we
might
worked,
actually talk to Andy.
We worked with Andy when we did the Poets Corner.
Yes.
We worked with him then, last year.
Yeah, no, I remember. I just didn't know where he went. I knew he was leaving one position to assume another.
He's a daddy now.
Congratulations, Andy.
Yeah, so Andy.
All right.
Bravo, Papa.
happy.
Boy, girl, what? What's her name? His name?
Oh, a girl.
A girl. Do you know her name?
I should.
We don't know her name. Hello, little
I've
girl.
I've taken pictures.
Welcome
very,
to the world.
Very cute. Yeah.
I bet.
That's all I can
they
say.
They all start out that
before
way.
Or I dig a hole. Yeah.
They're so cute for a while.
Yes, true.
Yes, there's a daddy speaking. As a matter of fact, you've got some family staying at your house for a while, don't you?
My wonderful granddaughters and daughter and son-in-law live with me for now while they're selling their house in Durham, and they're going to try to find a place in Chapel Hill.
And I'm the world's happiest bachelor, so I can go home to peace and quiet anytime I want. I
do you visit plug family the happy bachelor every show?
No, actually, you just sort of made me aware of it today.
Yes,
I don't want to leave them too insecure. No.
The happy bachelor. Yes, indeed. Well, you should hear some of the stories about the happy bachelor. I don't think we can say it on the radio, but
yeah.
Like, is this how you get your dates, Claudio?
24-year-old relationships haunting me? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Actually.
There's a long line of them.
I spent so much of my life traveling. Most of my romances were while amid travel, and it's interesting that some rather close relationship from years ago are suddenly getting in touch because of the medium of computer.
Ah, yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't leave a bad wake.
Oh, good. That's happy.
I'm not a dead bachelor. I'm still
yeah, so
bachelor.
All you women out there, watch out for your computer, okay? Claudio's on the computer.
Oh, great. Get me in trouble.
Beware.
Look out. See what we started here.
Yep.
Well, I think you're a natural on the radio. I mean, as organized as you put things together,
you.
I mean, your flow
was
incredible.
I was nervous. I had a hard time sleep last night.
No. No, it was a good energy that you put forth.
Yeah, I liked it when you came out with some stuff about your interaction with the poets, you know, like...
Yeah, like give it the personal touch.
Yeah, because I like to hear about that stuff. I think it adds... character to the story.
Well, it's fun, and they're nice.
Yeah.
They're really nice, you know.
And you interact with all these people anyway. I would think that sort of thing would might even to some degree be a little more nerve agitating than sitting on a radio where you can't see the millions that are listening.
Yeah.
Well,
the challenging part for me is if they'll say, you know, we're going to feature Glenys Redmond. And, I didn't have this problem because she's fabulous and she's very well known. And she sent me her bio automatically. But if I have to write something up myself, then I start to get a twitch, you know, that I'm not a writer per se. But it's given me good experience, you know, on the job training. I've had to learn publisher. I've had to learn how to do interviews. It's good for me. Another reason I like my job. You get to go home to the kids after school.
Yes,
so it's fun. But
now, tell us about your kids. What are their names?
Yeah, Jonathan. He's 9 and fourth grade. He is the one with the teacher who lets him sit on yoga balls, which I just think is fantastic.
What an amazing idea
during class
to draw the energy
during class,
so that it helps him concentrate.
It helps them be a little bit free. They have something soft to sit on because they sit for
a long time.
And occasionally, they get to do a little bouncing here and there.
Oh.
And it's
I think it's to keep them from being restless, if you ask me.
Well, you're supposed to just sit on that, and it makes you stronger. So
it makes
strength,
because it makes
your
midsection work.
Yeah,
which is what I need.
Maybe I need one.
Free of your limbs. I want one at work.
I need some core work,
Dennis,
I'm afraid.
Yeah, and my daughter, Haley Hansen, just started middle school this year. She's
Hello,
11.
Haley.
So
that's a good name.
All right.
Yeah. I used to be in love with Haley Mills.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Aren't we all?
Way, way long ago. Yes, not so much anymore.
So that's 2 children. What's the third?
It's 2.
Oh, it's 2.
We sometimes say we have one random other because we often have lots of children at our home. We love children. It's hard for me to birth them, actually, but that might be a whole other show. You know?
Yeah, that's a tough. Yeah. That sounds like a
We'll come back on that one.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, now that you've been on the speakeasy, you can count on us calling you back on.
Yeah.
We have a bit of a family
there you
thing
go.
Going
That's
here.
True, we do. We try to get... if we didn't embarrass people enough the first time, we try to get them back on.
We improve on it the second time.
See if we can really get to them. You know.
The first time we just sort of check you out to see exactly where we can go, and then
you think this was crazy? Wait till you're back on the next time.
Well, good. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me here.
It's been a pleasure, and I trust that Kim has tuned in. She said something about listening live, and we would love to have you as well as your dad back on sometime.
Yes, Tim.
In the
we would like to have Tim, especially now.
Tim, I think financial
stuff going on. He's a big aficionado. On the Federal Reserve.
And I've rarely heard anything explained as well as he can explain.
Yeah, he did a good job. Oh, I just thought of that guy's name that Obama should hire. Michael Hudson.
Michael Hudson.
Yeah. Look him up, everybody. Out there in Radio Land, Google him up. Michael Hudson. He's brilliant. And he has a CV that you would not believe.
CV?
His curriculum vitae is unbelievable. He's one of the most knowledgeable people in the world when it comes to economics.
Well, and where did he come from?
He's a professor at the University of Missouri.
I mean, what suddenly drew attention toward him? How did he suddenly emerge on the scene?
Well, he's not really emerged on the scene. Almost nobody knows about him. I know about him because I look for stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But most people won't have a clue of who he is.
Well,
that's why I'm telling people...
Ali seemed to recognize the name.
I recognize
him. That's why I'm saying people should look
for
him.
I think he's been on NPR before.
Okay, he's
surfacing. Yeah, he has been on NPR. Yep.
Good. Well, let's hope we get that kind of quality in government. You know, that's the thing that gets me. Why do we call this government? It is not governing. There should be another name that we use for this. The idea of government is to govern a certain situation so that it has caps and limitations.
I know. Where is that? I know what it's called. What it really is. It's a cabal. It's actually a cabal.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
If you look at political theory, you'll find what a cabal is. It's a faction. And what we have now is a cabal. It's a criminal cabal that's in control.
And we're not slipping back into the unmedia since it's almost time to go. We do have Touchstones coming up next. I'm assuming Paul Nash is going to be here.
We will usually see him by this time.
And I'm a little concerned about the Simeon potentially not having
anything on. It looks like Simeon is back up.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's running. So hopefully when I bring that back up,
I have a funny feeling
that it'll be back on the air.
I have a funny feeling our Simeon feed comes through Galveston, Texas, because we had this situation last time.
Yeah. They switched it from New Orleans to Galveston.
Every once in a while, somebody picks the cable out of the puddle.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
This is what happens.
Yes, that's right.
It's a horrible thing that happened there. I can't believe it. Can you believe that one house that remained standing because it was literally on stilts?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, one house.
That tells you something. Okay,
if you live above the water level.
If you live in a place like that, build your house up on stilts, okay? Don't build it on the ground, for Pete's sake.
Not next to the ocean, which is obviously rising.
Yeah, never mind.
You know, I was seeing something.
Nice. It's ridiculous.
A quick thought that comes to mind, I've been watching certain episodes of CSI, but more for the education on Vegas, because it's amazing how educational that program actually is. But if Vegas were ever to get hit with 2 or 3 weeks of rain, that place would literally wash away. They are not prepared for heavy rains. It's a desert.
Really?
And I question how that sand would not shift under those foundations with enough water coming down.
You know, I don't know. Of course, they're not in much danger of having a bunch of water out there.
Not just yet, but if global warming continues,
but when
baby.
Global warming continues, when
my in-laws are from Vegas. We're going there for Christmas.
Ah.
So, yeah. We stay away from the strip with the kids, but beautiful mountains, wonderful hiking. Yeah.
I know people who go in and out of there and really enjoy it.
I'm amazed how big a sprawl it is. The suburban sprawl out there is like another California.
Yeah, you're right, though. With global warming, you're looking at a real different topography in the United States.
Thou shalt not build thy house on shifting sand.
There's a thing called the future world map you should look for. It shows what the Earth will look like after global warming has done its thing. And it's basically the United States splits in two. The Mississippi River becomes a continuous body of water from the Hudson Bay all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, and it places it's 40, 50 miles wide. Because if you look at the elevation of the land, you'll see that when the sea starts rising, and it already is rising.
It is rising.
When it gets at a certain height, it's just going to fill in all the land from the Gulf of Mexico to the Hudson Bay up in Canada. And you're going to have a completely different topography.
So I'm talking houseboat.
Houseboat.
That's me. I'll just anchor it to my property.
Yeah, so you guys in the desert, start building your houseboat now.
And on that note, we better start exiting here, because so play that goodbye music.
Yeah, we're going to have to play
folks,
that goodbye music.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Ali, thanks for being on. And I want to thank you folks all for tuning in. This is Claudia of the Speakeasy. Tune us in again next week, if you would.
And let's do
we'll see you then.
Let's do the station ID again.
Okay.
Just to make sure we're
go ahead and do
complying
it.
With the FCC. This is WCOM-LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station.
And you've been listening to Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Until next time, cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea, as the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me, and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart, and the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back.